This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
The cost to the Australian economy of mental ill health and suicide has reached up to $60 billion per year. In fact, one in five Aussies spends over $4,000 on treatment for mental health annually. And while it's good we're seeking out care, leading positive psychologist and founder of the Positivity Institute, Dr. Susie Green, is encouraging a more proactive approach to our mental health that will help us prepare for life's stresses as opposed to only seeking out support when things get really bad, ultimately saving time and money on mental health services in the future, but also giving us a better sense of personal well-being. In her new book, The Positivity Prescription, Dr. Green details an easy-to-follow six-week well-being program based on the science of positive psychology. I asked her recently what areas of our life we need to focus on to see this kind of turnaround and what positive psychology is about.
Positive psychology has been around formally for about 20 years now, and it was launched through the American Psychological Association, actually, with Professor Martin Seligman, which some of your listeners may have heard of. He published some amazing books on learned optimism and the optimistic child, for example. And he basically said in his presidential speech, the time has come for psychology to focus on what's right with people and what's right with the world rather than what's wrong with it. And he really flipped particularly a field like clinical psychology, which is my training, on its head a little, if you like. And look, we've needed those, I guess, reactive and clinical approaches. They're still needed. No one's saying they're not. But this is about balancing it out with the focus on strengths and positive emotions and, as we said, what's going well rather than what's going wrong.
And I guess that kind of touches on your approach to psychology in general of and mental health, of wanting to do something that's proactive before things actually go wrong. Because I imagine some of the negative side of psychology comes because you're meeting people who already have PTSD or who have already experienced trauma. So you have to be in those kind of tougher spaces. Why do you think a proactive approach is needed?
Yes, well, in my early career, I worked in a psychiatric clinic, so I was actually thrown in, I guess, at the deep end, if you like, as a beginning psychologist. And I started to realise fairly quickly that people did wait, and this was 20 years ago, but it is changing. I absolutely would say things are slowly changing. But generally speaking, people don't seek help with a psychologist or a therapist until the curveballs hit, until they're really distressed. And what we're trying to do, I guess, in the profession of psychology generally, is to encourage people to talk more about their mental health. And there's been fantastic programs out there like the Are You OK Day, Beyond Blue, Black Dog, who I'm associated with, do amazing work. But we really want to encourage people to be just as proactive with their mental health as they are with their physical health.
Do you think that some of the hesitancy to seek out help is because often the idea of going to a counsellor or a therapist has been linked with something being wrong with you or something about you not working correctly? People don't want to say, oh, I think something's up.
Absolutely. And I think, again, it's been wonderful to see some fairly, you know, high-profile figures coming out in our community acknowledging that, you know, whilst they're quite high functioning, that they themselves have struggled, or their family members. And I think anyone you speak to now is untouched by a mental health issue, if you like, whether it's themselves or their family. So we all know about it, and treatment is very important. I'm a big, you know, supporter of having therapeutic support. But again, there is a lot that we can do proactively. And this is also now starting to move into schools to a field called positive education, which we've also been strongly involved with, and then into the positive workplaces, where workplaces are providing education and training for their staff around these psychological skills as well.
It does make a lot more sense to approach these things before they get really difficult. And I think as that changes gradually, people will start to see going to a therapist, going to a psychologist as like a general checkup with your GP, just seeing how you're tracking, and it will become much more normal. But in your book, you do map out a really effective six-week course that can help people work through some of the foundational areas of life where you can really start these. What are those six different areas that you touch on?
Fantastic. Well, they all start with M, Laura, which is convenient. So we call it the 6M model. So the first one is mood. And so there's a difference between emotions and mood. So emotions are more fleeting, you know, short term, particularly an emotion like happiness, which is like a little butterfly that sits on our shoulder and, you know, we've got to try and grab it and savour it. So I look at the full range of human emotions. So they're all important. Fear is important. Anger is important. But we do focus more in on the positive emotions such as love and joy and gratitude. And we now know from the research that they can be actively cultivated through certain activities that have been around for millennia, practices like gratitude and kindness and forgiveness. So that's mood. Motivation is looking at what matters most to you, looking at your core values, if you like, and then aligning your goals. And you can have both shorter term or longer term goals, but ensuring that they're aligned to your values so that they become meaningful goals. And that then impacts our motivation. We're more motivated when our goals are meaningful, if you like. Mm. And then might is strength. So part of the positive psychology movement, a large part is based on strength. And again, as a psychologist, I was taught to diagnose, again, deficits, if you like, and positive psychology has a much stronger focus, particularly in on character strengths. So again, these are concepts that have been around for millennia that can be of leadership, kindness, forgiveness, capacity to love and be loved. So it will look at how you identify them and then how you can develop them also. And also, how do you do some strength spotting? How can you start to look at people through the lens of strengths? Because we know what you focus on grows. So really important to be putting our strengths goggles on.
Yeah.
And then meaning does, as I mentioned before, tap into values. And what we are seeing in our society, unfortunately, is a lack of meaning. So there are many ways to gain meaning, and we cover that in a variety of ways in the chapter. Also looking at how to create meaning at work. And then mindfulness. So mindfulness is, I guess, in a nutshell, our capacity to be really present in the moment now rather than worrying about what happened 10 minutes ago, worrying about what could happen in 10 minutes. And it's the research has shown it's highly correlated with well-being. It impacts our relationships as well in a positive way. So I'll introduce the research there and some fairly simple practices. And then the sixth and final one is mindset, which has really been the bread and butter of psychologists for decades. So if somebody has come and they've been feeling really challenged, or even if you like to think about someone that might have, you know, been working with a sports psychologist in, you know, elite sports, if you like, we all know that mindset is the key really to performance, and mindset is also the key to our well-being and our resilience and functioning. So I'll introduce those skills that I spent many years teaching people. But, yeah, now we're taking them out to a larger audience, thankfully.
You do put them in this really simple kind of framework, but it's one that even listening to you go through those elements, it takes time, and it's going to be something that people need to really go deep on, I think, as well. Like it causes you to ask internal questions that perhaps people really haven't considered before, I would think.
You're absolutely right, Laura. And look, it does sound simple, and I do say it's 6 weeks, but I also encourage people in the book to stretch it out and perhaps find a buddy to do it. But and for example, the activity, the values activity, if you've never stopped and really reflected on your core values, for some people, I had a client tell me once that she needed a whole year to do that. She needed to really take stock of her life and stop and reflect and really come down to the things that matter most. And as you and I know, it's a very busy world that we live in. There are so many opportunities, but to really uncover those core life values for yourself and your family, they become like the guiding lights or the best decision-making tools I've ever had, as one of my clients told me. But yes, you're right. It may take a little longer than 6 weeks to sort of uncover those deeper aspects of ourselves.
Do a deep dive. But when you look at things like even mindset, mood, how much control do you think we really have over those things? Because some people would see a lot of external elements, whether it is job, whether it is family, finances. The external plays such a massive part on how we do feel at any given moment.
Absolutely. And look, you know, that we'd be more worried if you weren't sad or disappointed, if, you know, if you weren't responding appropriately to a significant, you know, loss in your life. Or so again, those emotions are really important. But as a psychologist, and particularly as a clinical psychologist, one of our main approaches to help people, particularly with significant distress, has been to help them understand that our mindset can work for us or it can work against us. So whilst we're not sort of saying let's get rid of those emotions, in fact the newer approaches are actually learning to sit with them and be curious and be compassionate around them. But there is an opportunity to, I guess, look at our perspective on things and our mindset and consider whether there may be a slightly different way that might help us feel slightly better, perhaps not ecstatic about the situation, but perhaps a little bit more hopeful about our capacity to address the challenges that we face.
Yeah, and step by step make some progress forward. And when positivity is a part of that recipe, sometimes people will hear the word positivity and think, oh, that's just fake. That's just pretending like the challenges aren't happening. But how do you properly deal with negative emotions and real trauma and improve your outlook on life without it just being, you know, a post-it note of quotes kind of situation?
Yeah, and look, I think, again, it's important to differentiate in terms of if it is a trauma or a significant trauma, you need professional assistance in most cases. So I'd be strongly encouraging that. But I guess we all, as I said before, experience these fleeting emotions, and particularly, you know, particularly fear if we're about to try something new that we've never done before. And as you know, sometimes fear can be overwhelming and actually prevent us from taking a step forward. So there are these skills that have been scientifically tested over the years to help us manage, say, for example, that fear a lot better so we can still progress and do and be the things that we want to be in our lives. And as I said, historically, you wouldn't have learnt these skills until you really were distressed, but now they're starting to be taught to students in schools. We've got a long way to go. It's not in all schools yet, but for me it's like, particularly in this, we call it the VUCA world we're living in, the volatile, uncertain, complex and ambiguous, I would argue we need every psychological skill we can possibly get our hands on right now to not just survive but to thrive.
Absolutely. And listening to you, I think everyone can tell it's not a superficial thing. It actually runs very deep, having a positive mindset and approach to life. So, Dr. Susie, thank you so much for sharing more about it with us, and well done on your book, The Positivity Prescription. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.